May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
For those of you who follow along in the gospel from the bulletin, you will notice that some verses were added before what was printed in the bulletin. There's a reason for that. You might remember in the fourth Sunday of Lent, we read the first part of this same story of the young man born blind from birth. And that story, the first piece of it concludes with the young man finding Jesus, proclaiming him Lord, and then some Pharisees in the background appear. And Jesus says this thing and suggests that they are blind because of how they behave, because of their rejection of what he's offering. And so we don't really put our Good Shepherd story in the right context if we don't realize that Jesus' response to the Pharisees and to the young man and to his disciples, who might also be nearby, is to use these figures of speech. And it's a hodgepodge of figures of speech. Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the shepherd. Who are the sheep? What's happening? The one thing I would like you to remember at this point is that when the gospel says, when Jesus says, I am the gate in the gospel, that word was chosen by the translators so it fit better with sheep and the metaphor. But the actual word in Greek is door. And Jesus says, I am the door. And a door is something that we pass through from one place into the next. Just like when you come to church and you pass through the doors and you enter a completely different space. Somehow Jesus is saying that he is a passageway into something else. So what happens after the resurrection? Does everyone who followed Jesus immediately understand what the meaning of his life and his death and the resurrection appearances mean? They do not. We remember today in the story from Acts that early followers proclaimed the good news, and that many people were converted, probably not by what the early followers said, but by how they lived. They became a people at that time and in that place of absolutely radical generosity. A community that valued all the members equally and shared everything they had. This isn't the communism of Marx or of Lenin or of Stalin. It's the generous community created by Jesus Christ. And that is how they responded at that time. But you might also remember that in John's gospel, one of the very last scenes at the ascension is that we return to find Jesus' followers, his disciples, in the fishing boats, going back to what they knew, doing what they had always done, returning to their old pattern. And the story is loaded, freighted heavily with metaphor. What was in their nets? Absolutely nothing. I like to go and jog out on the Greenway in North Augusta. And since the shelter-in-place orders were enacted, the number of people, especially families, out walking and just being together on the Greenway or down in some of the parks has been almost too many for the trail. And for the last few years, when I ran there, you'd pass another person and they wouldn't even acknowledge that you were present, that you existed. And now people seem to be much more open, not only to acknowledging each other, but to offering a smile and seeing you and welcoming you. Yes, we're lonely and we want to be connected with others, but we are talking about strangers welcoming others because of the joy of just simply being together, passing by one another in the world. And as I was out yesterday, I heard this couple as I jogged past. They were three people sharing how their work life had changed and how they believed they were going to try and maintain these new patterns to some extent and not return to the old patterns when things go more and more back to normal. So that's the question I have for this passage, where Jesus critiques the Pharisees, who were the ones who were supposed to see how to live, and they put restrictions and barriers up rather than being opening and welcoming. And so Jesus criticizes that, and he invites people to see the world in a different way. And the way to see the world is to follow the life of Jesus, to learn from him, to serve as he serves, to have a relationship with God that heals your relationship with yourself so that you have some love to share with others. The question we need to ask ourselves, as we have been unpatterned, our old patterns have been dashed and broken enough to create possibilities for new patterns. There always are possibilities for new patterns, but usually we don't go down a new trail unless a tree is standing in the way of the one we're used to. So ponder deeply, how is Jesus the gate, the doorway, for you to pass through into some kind of transformation? Paul was transformed. Some of the followers, the early disciples, were transformed. And that last story in John's gospel, where his disciples are in the boat catching nothing, having returned to their old pattern, they look up and they recognize Jesus. And he tells them to cast their nets on the other side. Fish in a different way. Fish the way I taught you. And the nets are filled with utter abundance, because the passageway that leads through Jesus brings us into that life of abundance, where I do see you and I do welcome you, and I notice who is hurting. I notice who is excluded, and I go where they are, and I form a relationship with them. And that heals me, and it heals them, and it creates a new pattern, a kingdom of God pattern for this world. That's the Good Shepherd who calls my name. Amen.
Amen.